Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HALO is here to help. HALO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HALO has something for everyone. HALO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure from Waikiki Beach. Today, I can't tell you how thrilled we are because we have a Navy helicopter pilot. He's also a bull rider, but most astonishing and most thrilling of all is that this man, Chris Gokey, is an ice fisherman. I can't imagine anything more thrilling than sitting in a hut in the middle of the frozen tundra on a lake and hoping a fish will nibble on your bait. Be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Zoop up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. You know, you were recording this on Memorial Day, actually. I think you're probably listening to it in the middle of football season. We're actually recording this as the country is beginning to open up from the corona crisis, I guess you would call it. And I'm so hopeful that right now on this beautiful Saturday that there's college football playing and that you're able to watch college football. So, and that there's fans in the stands and that everything is doing better. You know, this came as a real great surprise to us, didn't it? This whole shutdown, it seemed to come out of nowhere. But it doesn't surprise God. God lives in the eternal now. His name, I Am Who Am, means I am existence. You know, when we're riding our motorcycles together filming Long Ride Home, we especially love these winding curves, you know, going through the mountains. But we never know what's on the other side of one of those curves. It might be a steep drop-off. There might be a semi-truck that's jackknifed and crossing the road. There might be beautiful scenery. There might be a car that isn't paying attention to us because of the scenery and swerves into us. God knows what's around the corner. God doesn't live in chronos, you know, this linear time that we're in. You know, when I started the show, it was about 2 minutes ago. That's ancient history already. And now, since I mentioned I started the show 2 minutes ago, that's already come and gone. When you read St. Augustine's writings on time, it's just really powerful and cosmic how we live in this linear dimension. But God lives up and beyond that linear dimension. He lives outside the time-space continuum that he created. Think about it this way. When I was, in second grade, the coolest thing happened. The teacher said, we're going to draw a mural across the whole length of the classroom. So she put up butcher block paper or something across the whole length of the classroom, and we all got to color with our colors certain things, like from the starting in the Revolutionary War to the westward expansion. I think I got to, color in a Conestoga wagon and some horses and people riding their wagon across the country. But when I was doing that, all I could see was focusing on my horse and my terrible ability to draw a cowboy hat and a round circled wheel. And I was just focused on that moment. But when I stepped back After a few days of working on this mural, I could see the whole story all at once. And that's the way God is. God sees the whole story all at once, and he knows what's around the corner. And God can reap what he did not sow. Someone, his enemy may come in and plant bad seeds. His enemy may come in, as Jesus said, maybe he'll come in and plant a deadly virus. But God is able to work all things together for the good for those who are called according to his purposes. God is not surprised. So knowing that, we know that we have no need to fear. All we need to do is just say, Lord, I abandon myself to your will. And you know, I remember when I was testing for both of my black belts, just a few months before the black belt test, I got injured for both of them. And I remember thinking, you know, how am I going to be able to pass this test? How am I going to be able to do this now? Because I felt so invincible, so powerful. Here I am, I'm going to test for my black belt. I felt so awesome and so powerful. And suddenly, with a little snap to my knee or to my calf, I was vulnerable. And we feel so like, oh, take for granted. Oh, I've got my checking account. I got my investments. I got my job. Suddenly, you have no job. Suddenly, your investments go down in value. Suddenly, there's illness in your family, and you feel vulnerable. We take for granted God's love and his care, and then suddenly we feel vulnerable, and we learn to turn to him and say, God, not what some would say. Some people say, God, what are you doing wrong? The right response is, God, where are you? Help me to find your will in this. Help me to move in your power and grace, and it is not by might, but by your spirit. It's when I am weak that I am strong, and learn to be strong in Christ and not so self-reliant. Rather, abandon yourself to God's will and help him and avail yourself to his power, his grace, and his direction. So we have with us today a friend of mine, Chris Gokey. So Chris, how did we meet?
Yeah, that was the grace of God, that how we met there. I was getting ready to go on a deployment here, stationed here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and it got canceled, right, due to the health crisis, the pandemic. And I had already broken my lease and moved out of my apartment to go on this deployment. And then they postpone it and they cancel it, and I have nowhere to live. So I'm looking at Airbnbs and VRBOs, trying to find temporary places to live until they turn this deployment back on. And I find this place not far from where I was moving out of. And I was trying to figure out the parking situation, because I know most of these
parking
these
VRBOs, is everything.
That's right. And most people that come here don't have to worry about that. They don't have a car already on island. They don't live here. And so I sent a message to the owner, who I didn't know at the time, to ask about the parking situation. And when you bring up VRBO to write a message, it'll say the owner's name at the top. And it says, write Bear Wozniak a message. And I thought, well, this can't be the same Bear Wozniak I listened to on EWTN.
Well, there's a lot of Bear Wozniaks around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they're everywhere. So that was my first question, actually, was, hey, are you the same Bear Wozniak I know from EWTN? And secondly, how's the parking there?
You know, it was so cool how God works, isn't it? Because we've had a great, you've only been here a few weeks, and you're leaving in about a week or so. But you were here during this crisis, and you and I would go down every morning. You know, I do my Ocean Sunrise Catechism every morning. People who want to watch that can go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure fan page and like and follow us there. But normally I do that from my house looking down over the ocean. But because of the Eucharistic famine, we went down to St. Augustine's Church, which is right next door, and we prayed and laid hands on the doors of the church after the catechism, and you led us in a decade of the rosary, you know?
Yeah, that was so beautiful and so powerful, because it was shortly after that they started relaxing a little bit, the lockdown.
Yeah, the governor wouldn't mention a thing about opening up the churches in all of his statements. He said, well, you can have drive-through churches, church services. And here in Hawaii, like, we had like 40 active cases. And some of us would go down every Friday afternoon at noon and pray at the Capitol building right in front of the St. Damien statue. And Cindy and I went down and we prayed the rosary. And then as we were leaving, another family walks up and they're praying the rosary. They were going there for the same reason. And I remember after that particular event, they said they're going to open the churches maybe in another week or so. And then all of a sudden, after one day morning after we prayed, They said, we're opening up all the churches to, I think tomorrow. You know, it's like, it was like an instant change. And I'm so proud of our bishops, starting with our bishops in Minnesota, who told the governor, we're going to open the churches. We're going to disobey you. We need to obey God and not man when it comes to the way that people were so prudent. The bishops were so prudent and wise in how they were going to go about protecting people. We have churches that hold 1,000 people, and they're saying only 10 people can even come together. So, but we learned what? We learned not to take the Eucharist for granted, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've never felt so starved for the sacraments in my life until now. And I can truly say that I took for granted the freedom I had to go to the sacraments whenever I wanted.
You know, I got to tell you, there's sometimes I don't feel like getting up and going to Mass, you know, and I'll complain a little bit about it. Of course, once you're there, it's different. That'll never happen again. I'll never feel like, oh, I want to just, you know, go for a bike ride or go surf. I don't want to go to Mass this morning, you know, because we usually get up real early and go. But I'll never take the sacraments for granted ever again.
Likewise, but God always makes good come out of the bad. And just look at the incredible people that we've met each morning down that drain.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and I got a coffee mug out of it, too.
Yeah, you got a long ride home coffee mug. I'm using the same one. This is the Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. My guest, Chris Gokey, is a bull rider, a Navy helicopter pilot, and really the only reason we have him on our show is we're going to be talking about ice fishing here pretty soon. I can't think of a more thrilling subject. But we want to remind you guys, Chris just became a member of Bear's Man Cave. Go to our website, deepadventure.com, and look for the warning sign that says stop, danger, don't enter. If you press that button, you'll learn more about our secret Facebook group, Bear's Man Cave. And there you'll find the Cave of Adullam. King David, when he was on the run being chased by King Saul, he hid in the Cave of Adullam. And misfits, people who owed money or people who were, you know, incorrigible, whatever, or in trouble, they found themselves in that cave. And they became a mighty band of warriors. So that's what we say we are at the Man Cave. We're a bunch of knuckle-dragging misfits. But together, by sharpening each other's sword and challenging each other and encouraging each other, we're developing into that 300, the 300 Spartans of Thermopylae, the 300 men of Gideon's army. A small group of men committed to each other and to the Lord can change the world. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure Radio Show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link. And become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. Today we have Navy helicopter pilot and a bull rider, and more excitingly, a guy who knows how to, the thrill of ice fishing. We have with us Chris Gokey from where? The hand, the thumb of Michigan. Where were you from, Chris?
Tip of the mitt. So northwest lower peninsula.
So when we rode through there on shooting, I think we were shooting season 6 and 7, which won't even air for a couple of years. We rode up there by the cross in the woods. How far was that from you?
Yeah, probably about 25 minutes or so from our house and our little farm there. I used to go there frequently to pray, actually. It's such a powerful area. You feel so small. It makes you realize how big God is.
Yeah.
And I know that was an important area for my father, too. He goes there regularly to pray for myself and my siblings. So it's been really cool to grow up there.
It was really cool to ride with a bunch of members of the Knights on Bikes, Ace Bagley and a bunch of his men. And women. Ace's wife actually rides her own motorcycle. She's such a bad, you know, she's just such a, as we say, you know, a bad biker. She's tough. She's really a great biker, but has a lot of joy. But so when we were, let me ask you this. What is that on your t-shirt? It says rents.
It says rent is due.
Rent's due. And now I saw that when you were praying the rosary one day. And it had that bull on it, too. And I go, oh, I know what that is. Someone says, why do you ride bulls? And you say, because rents do. But what is the real meaning of that T-shirt?
It's actually a workout T-shirt. It's made by Under Armour, and it's The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. It's his line. And he has different sayings on there. Rent is due, and I forgot what some of the other ones were. And I saw this one.
Well, what does that mean?
Little bullhead.
What does that mean?
He's got to work out every day, and when it's time to work out, it's time to work out. You know, it's like your body saying, "Hey, rent is due. Let's go pay our dues and get to the gym."
Amen. Yeah, it's so important to be consistent in your workout. You know, my wife Cindy has never made a fist or had to kick anybody, but you know, I love martial arts, so we've been doing MMA training every in our living room, but we've been doing full on cardio MMA and strength and plyometrics and everything in our living room. You know, we try to get in 10,000 steps a day. We surf, sub-surfer tandem almost every day. But when you add the MMA workout into it, a 45-minute workout like that, you've paid your rent. I feel like I really, and I think I'm probably a little past due on my rent, you know, so catching up on that.
You better be careful, teaching her MMA. You might be writing checks your body can't cash.
Yeah, I know. It'll be nice. You know, if there's ever a problem, I could just say you take care of it, you know. But she said she's a powerful athlete. She really is. You know, the thing that you two guys have in common that is that she was a barrel rider, and she also did trick riding where she'd, you know, jump off the horse and throw herself across the saddle. And she would also ride, I forget what it is, where she rides on three horses at once. She stands up on them and rides them.
Wow.
So you have that rodeo background together, you know, which is pretty, pretty cool. But What went wrong? What was wrong? What twisted thing happened in you that made you want to ride a bull? I love riding horses, but to me it's not easy. And you're on a bull. So how did that, what went wrong? What happened there? What causes that?
I like to call it completing your circles in life. And when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was a big rodeo fan. I wanted to be a cowboy. We had three channels growing up. I think, do you remember the analog TV antennas on the roof of the homes?
Yes.
Way back. Yeah. And we had one of those, had maybe three channels, and one of those channels would air big rodeo competitions, the PRCA, National Finals Rodeo, and things like that. And my favorite bull rider was Cody Custer at the time. I mean, that was in his heyday. He was winning a lot. And I think it was in 92 or so. I was probably about 6 years old. The National Finals Rodeo was on, and he won the world championship. And I don't remember the actual rodeo itself very much, but I remember seeing the TV screen. And at the end of each round, they would put a picture of each rider in their standings. And after the final round, I remember seeing Cody Custer's picture up there, you know, and said that he was world champion, how much money he won, and all that. And something about that really spoke to me. And I said, you know what? I want to do that. I want to be a rodeo cowboy. And granted, the bull riding was only because he was a bull rider. If he rode Bronx or he was a calf roper, I probably would have wanted to do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, with a name like that, a Cody Custer, he has to be a cowboy, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had a perfect cowboy name and really a good all-around guy. And you'll notice that a lot with rodeo cowboys. Some of them, I mean, they're strong, adventurous people, but a lot of them are very deep-rooted Christians, and they're good role models.
Well, tell me, but my wife has a saying after a bad ride. She goes, there's never nothing worse than a moody cowboy after a bad ride. You've had some bad rides. What's your worst ride? Do you have, or did you block it out of your memory?
I do. I block a lot of them out of my memory. And most of my worst rides were so short. I don't remember much. That's why they were bad. The chute opens and I'm on the ground getting my butt kicked, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, what's one memory? I know you told me something about getting pushed up against a fence or something.
Yeah. So we were at a rodeo in Mason, Texas. It was actually, this was actually the first real rodeo I ever competed in. And granted, I'm still pretty new at this. I got started later in life. The dream started early. I went through a long process to really make that dream come to fruition. And a good buddy of mine that I rodeo with in his hometown, they have the Mason Pro Rodeo. And that was our first rodeo we went to, and we decided to make that an annual tradition. So the second year, we're there at that rodeo, and I forgot the name of the bull I was on. And he really actually probably wasn't even that tough of a bull. I was just, you know, didn't ride very well. And he came out of the chute, started turning slightly to the left, and then came back to the right, and I got out of position. And I was hanging off the side, and he was spinning to the right next to the fence. And every time he turned around, and granted, the ride was probably only 4 seconds long, but it felt like it was going forever. Every time he would turn, I'd feel my shoulder brush against the fence. That's how close I was. Mm. And then naturally, I got bucked off, and I fell right next to the fence. And he kept stomping and turning and bucking there right next to the fence. And it was every time he would kick, it would slam me into the fence. And I'm getting pounded between the fence and the hooves of this bull. And the bull rider or the bullfighter comes over. And this, I distinctly remember him saying this, which is weird, you know, in a traumatic situation like that, right? But I remember him grabbing the horn of the bull to get its attention and saying, "Hey, bull, you know, over here, over here." And the bull turned and ran off in his direction. I was able to get up. But the other bullfighter, there's three of them out there. The other bullfighter walks over to me to see how I'm doing. And he had a smirk on his face. And he says, "Hey, how many bones did you just break?"
And it was that bad, huh?
It looked that bad. And I thought, you know, I mean, probably several, right? I stood up and I remember not feeling any pain. And I walked over, picked up my bull rope out of the arena and walked out. And later that night, I checked myself over. I didn't even have a bruise. And you know, a lot of that's, you know, luck, probably some divine intervention in there. But I didn't even have a bruise. However, in that moment, in those 3 or 4 seconds that this all happened, I felt like I was probably breaking every bone in my body. There's no way that this you know, can come out good.
Well, you know, you think about it. That's what Jesus does for us. He's our bullfighter. You know, what did he say? What did the bullfighter, and I've heard also they call them cowboy protectors, right? He comes up to the bull, grabs it by the horns and says, "Come over here."
Yeah.
That's really what Jesus does for us. You know, the Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity, right? So that's Jesus. You know, the bully on the block is the enemy, Satan, or the world of flesh and the devil. And Jesus says, "You want some of me? Come over here." You know?
Yeah.
I love that song by Carmen called The Champion. I don't know if you ever heard it, but Jesus goes into the ring to fight Satan, and God the Father is the judge, and there's angels and demons and the saints and this and the you know, the worst people in the world surrounding this the fight. And he's fighting Satan, and he blocks every single blow. You know, when he's tempted in the wilderness and everything else, Jesus lives a perfectly sinless life. And then at the very end, though, it's like Jesus drops his hands and the enemy just takes swings at him, and he hits him with a death blow. And Jesus falls to the ground. And then, of course, the 10 count starts, you know, to count him out. 1, 2, 3. But he starts counting the other way. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, like before a rocket launch, 4, 3, and then suddenly a demon starts shrieking, "Oh no, he's alive." And he comes back, you know, in that he comes back as the champion, and defeats the enemy. And that's really what you think about that bull, the bullfighter who protected you. That's what Jesus does. He says, come over here. You know, I will destroy death. I will capture captivity. I'll restore life. I'll make all things new. And this young man who's all broken up and getting beat up by your hoofs, he's going to walk away from this and have a beautiful, abundant life. We're talking with Chris Gokey. He's a Navy helicopter pilot. He's a bull rider, strong Catholic. But most importantly of all, he knows the thrill of ice fishing. We'll be right back with Chris Gokey. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular...
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I know you're sitting there thinking, wow, I really like the Bear Wozniak Adventure. He has the coolest guests in the world. How can we help him to have the radio show and his TV ministry continue? I'm glad you asked. You can go to deeperadventure.com and become a big part of our ministry. There's a link there to our Patreon page. You can become a Patreon donor. We have a web store that's actually maybe the best one in the whole universe. It's got so many cool things. We have St. Benedict's Exorcism Ring. We have single-decade rosaries for you guys who like to carry it on your motorcycles. We've got great, cool T-shirts. We got my books and other people's books. So check out our website. And also, you know, we invite you men to join the Man Cave, and you can find all that at the website. If you go there and you sign up for our newsletter, you get a free audio book of my most recent book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. We send you an audio book for free, and then you get the radio shows before they even air, the day before they air when you subscribe on the newsletter. If you become a Patreon donor, you actually can get the radio version of the video version of our radio show months before it airs, because we pre-record these. And also you get all seasons pass for all the episodes of Long Ride Home, our motorcycle TV show. Plus, like right now, my son and I are finalizing a new episode. So in about 2 weeks, we'll be sending out the director's cut of that before we even send it to EWTN. So got too much to talk about at our website, but you got to go to our website and check it out. We're talking with Chris Gokey. So Chris, he's a helicopter pilot, bullfighter, ice fisherman. So tell us a little bit, let's go back a little bit in time. Tell us a little bit about your personal journey of faith.
Yeah, I was a cradle Catholic. My parents did an excellent job of forcing me to be in the church pew on Sunday. However, like, you know, typical, you know, American Catholic families, we often don't understand why we believe what we really believe. But we know we need to be to church on Sunday. We know right from wrong. We know the basics. She made sure I received my first communion, my confirmation in the sacraments, which was great. However, I never really got a deeper foundation than that. And I remember when I graduated high school, I had this feeling like I needed to continue that. I was supposed to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to continue to do that when I go to college. But I didn't really understand why, but I was going to do that. So I did. And also at the same time, when I graduated high school, I was, you know, one of the smaller kids in school, got picked on a little bit, you know, and I wanted to go join a gym, and I wanted to do something about that. I wanted to be a better athlete. I wanted to be stronger, wanted to be a little bit bigger. So day one of college, I went to the gym. Wow. I started working out, and I never looked back, and I gained, put on a lot of size, got pretty big. And that first year I met an old guy from the community that used to work out at the gym on campus. And he invited me to a young adult Catholic kind of fellowship. It was just men. And I think he was just looking to mentor people. And he started this thing at the church. And I went, I think we only had maybe two sessions, and then it kind of fell apart. Nobody really showed up, but I continued to meet with this guy once every few weeks. He ended up buying me on Easter. So it was towards the end of my first year. He bought me a Catholic catechism, and it was a really nice one. It was big, hardcover, and it was a very particular catechism that would play a role later in my faith journey. I mean, it had orange letters on it, a basic kind of font, but it was a very specific look to this catechism. I didn't really open it or look at it much, but I went home that summer, continued to go to church, and I, you know, long story short, felt like I was being called to the priesthood. Just out of nowhere, I felt like, you know, the radio ads and stuff were speaking to me, and I did not want to do that. So I was kind of fighting God, and then an usher at my local church walked over one Sunday, and I'm at church by myself, and handed me a brochure, and it was this brochure to go to the diocese, and it was kind of discover the priesthood kind of thing. And that's when I just kind of, I mean, my heart sank, because I felt like, wow, you are talking to me, God. And I've talked to you kind of throughout my life, and now you're talking back, and I'm not sure if I like it. And so I submitted to God. I said, you know what, I'll go do this. You know, if this is what you want me to do, I'll go do it. And on the way there, another radio ad came on, and it was talking to young men interested in the priesthood. And it said, hey, remember, discerning priesthood isn't a commitment. You're just discerning. And I felt more comfortable then. So I went there with a better attitude. And when I got there, I realized what God was calling me to. One, he was calling me to submit to his will for once, you know, listen to him. But two, he peeled back the cover that was on the church to me, because I saw it from the outside looking in. And I got to meet priests, and I saw them as people and not just men of cloth. And then they showed me, you know, a few things about the liturgy that I just hadn't really noticed before. And I remember leaving there thinking, wow, there's a lot going on here. And I need to open that catechism that was once given to me and start looking at this. I need to take my faith seriously. So I went back to college after that. And I'm on fire, ready to learn more. And then I meet another person in the same gym who is a very devout Calvinist and asked me about my faith, found out I was Catholic, and boy, he just went on the offensive. And I remember everything he said seemed, I don't remember what he said, but I remember feeling that everything he said sounded correct. He was able to back it up, and I wasn't able to back up
He was text proofing, taking scriptures right and text proofing.
Absolutely.
Taking them out of context. Catholic Church, we look at the whole of Scripture, and he was text-proofing, pulling things out of context.
Sure, yeah, and as a 19-year-old who didn't really have a foundation, didn't understand how to deal with that. So I went home, or back to my apartment, and I was very confused and distraught. I remember having an anxiety attack over it, because everything that I thought was true up to that point now seemed like maybe it wasn't, and I didn't know which direction to go. And that confusion. And that's how that's how Satan works, you know, is he instills confusion and it causes this anxiety. And my prayer to God was, God, I don't know where to go. Just show me the truth and which direction to follow. After about an hour of this anxiety attack, I needed to get my mind off it. And I turned the TV on, and just a few weeks prior, I had discovered a radio or a television station. I don't know if you've heard of it, called EWTN.
I heard of them. Mother Angelica.
So it was already on that channel. I turned the TV on, trying to get my mind off of, you know, religion and Christianity. And when that came on, Father Carapi, I don't know if you remember him or not.
Right.
He was on there. I don't know what he was talking about, but he's standing at the podium. And the minute I turned the TV on, he lifted up a catechism. It was the same exact catechism that I had laying next to the TV. And he pointed at it and he said, this is the truth. And then I turned the TV off because the hair on my neck stood up. And I don't know what he was talking about, what his sermon was about. I don't know what happened before or after, but man, that hit me hard. And I promised God at that point that even if I don't understand something, I'm going to follow his truth until I get the grace of understanding later.
Right. And you know, the catechism, I love the catechism. Of course, every morning we teach out of the catechism. I've read through it many times, but that's where you inform your faith. And that's where the full deposit of faith is. And people, you know, I do on my Deep Adventure page, my Bear Wasnik Deep Adventure page, we post there, and I'll get a lot of people saying, oh, all you Catholics are going to hell, and text you guys don't know the Bible and all this kind of thing. And I go, well, actually, we canonize the scripture, and there's more scripture read by Catholics every day at Mass than at any other Protestant church. And that when you do the Liturgy of the Hours and the daily Mass readings, you go through the whole Bible in 3 years. Actually, we love the Bible so much that we changed it to the altar back in the day, because there was only maybe one Bible per diocese, perhaps, or per parish. And we love the Bible, the gospel, so much that we stand when it's read. But the Calvinist thing is kind of really twisted, you know, that man is totally depraved, and that God imputes righteousness to us in a sense of a penal sort of verdict. I'm acquitting you because Jesus paid the price, penal substitution. You're acquitted. And I'm imputing righteousness to you, but you haven't been transformed. You're still the picture of the dunghill with snow covering it. You know, you're on the outside, you're white, you've been imputed righteousness, but in reality, you're still totally depraved. And that's the Catholic teaching is faith, and you need both faith and the righteousness of God. Both of those things work together. Faith, the word pistis. In the Greek, that word faith means a transformational decision that changes your life. And I look at, you know, you're a weightlifter. I think about this. As Catholics, when Jesus came, he didn't just come to die for us and pay the price. Penal substitution, which is a false teaching. What he did is he came in solidarity with us in his incarnation. He became one of us. He took on all humanity, including our good things and our sins. He took all that on. He lived a beautiful, sinless life. And then when he went to the cross, he was like a weightlifter. He was making all things new. It's called recapitulation. He bent down. I know you as a weightlifter, you probably love the deadlift, you know, or the squat. I love the deadlift. But he went down. He lifted that heavy, heavy weight. Deadlift is the heaviest weight, you know, basically. He lifted it. But if you think about someone going and lifting it up, and now lifting not just the lifting it up to your chest, and then he lifted us up, restoring our dignity. When you see his hands extended on the cross, like a weightlifter lifting us up, restoring our dignity that God gave us. Not only that, but because the Catholic Church teaches superabundant grace, he gave us even more than we could ever ask or think. He restored us and then some, so we could be called the children of God. And he invites us to be part of him. As he's solidarity with us, as we're baptized into his death and resurrection, we participate in, we're part of the body of Christ, and we participate in the Trinitarian, you know, love between the Father and the Son. So he came to restore our dignity, not to point out to us that we're just a dung heap, and he'll acquit us even though we're still just a dung heap. We'll be right back with Chris Gokey, helicopter pilot, bull rider, ice fisherman from Michigan. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link. and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha, this is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We have Chris Goki. He's a helicopter pilot, Navy helicopter pilot, ice fisherman,
bull rider,
lives here in Hawaii. We got to know each other because he rented my studio. I have a studio right next to my condo in Waikiki. So he's only here for a month, and we got to know each other. It was just so cool to get to meet him, get to know his life journey. So the thing about it is this Calvinist began to challenge your faith by pulling scriptures out of context, and it left you confused, but it pointed you towards, let me inform my faith. What did you find in the catechism? So you picked up the catechism somebody had given you, and you finally opened it, and...
Yeah, I started to read through it, but I didn't really totally understand it all still. It was with the help of EWTN, Dr. Peter Kreeft.
Dr. Kreeft, yeah.
Yeah, all these heavy hitters, right?
Dude, we got them. We got them, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. And these heavy hitter apologists that help walk you through that is what really helped open my perspective.
And that points you to this, Chris, is that the church, Jesus established a church. Jesus didn't write a book, you know. He never wrote anything down that we know of. He probably did, but we don't know of. But he said, I'm going to make you disciples, and you will pass this on to each other. It's a people-to-people transmission. You know, it's like you need people, and that's why the church is, can't be a lone ranger. You got to be part of the church and avail yourself to the teaching of the church, you know, the people in the church.
Yeah. And that was a scary time when I met the Calvinist, because not only was I confused as to which path to go as far as my Christian faith is concerned, it almost made me step out of the realm of believing in God to begin with.
Yeah.
And because if I couldn't figure out what the truth was, then maybe there is no truth at all.
Right.
And that really kind of scared me. And actually it upset me a little bit, because I've never believed that a Protestant isn't saved just because they're not Catholic, right? Mm. We don't necessarily believe anything like that. Yet he believed that about me. And in doing so, really kind of shook my faith to the core, to where I wasn't sure if there was a truth.
Yeah, if someone is a Protestant and wants to become a Catholic, we don't rebaptize them if they've been baptized with a Trinitarian baptism. We accept them as part of the family. Okay, and so that shook you because you're on the road to hell, man, and you don't even know it, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they throw all those things at you. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, so that was a scary time, but the other side of that, when God answered my prayer, that was the first time God very explicitly answered a prayer for me like that. And said, this is the truth. And kind of to give me that relief that even though I may not understand everything yet, I'm still on the right path.
To give me
that sense of comfort, because I was having an anxiety attack over it. And I actually, I cried after that, in that moment when he answered that prayer. I started crying, and it was the first time in my life that I can remember ever crying a tear of joy. And that was a very monumental moment for me. And then after that is when I started this journey of trying to become a manlier Christian, if you will, because I struggled with this idea between, I was growing in the gym, I was getting strong, I'm a better athlete, I'm feeling strong. And when you feel strong in body, you feel strong in spirit. However, I had this false sense that Christians are supposed to be meek and mild. I still kind of was holding on to that false perception. And that's when I discovered the both and of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm. Both God and man, not a little bit of both, you know? So I was looking at it as I need to be a little bit manly and a little bit Christian. Mm. And no, there's a both and there. And the defining moment was meditating on the crucifixion. Mm. When in the crucifixion, I understood that there is both justice and mercy. Mm. And in that prayer, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Mm. Now, nobody knows the Father like the one who's consubstantial with the Father, correct? For him to pray that, he has to know God is a just God, or he wouldn't even pray that. Mm-hmm. Yet he also must know that he's completely merciful, otherwise that prayer's in vain. And justice and mercy in my mind at the time was synonymous with, you know, manliness and gentleness, steel and velvet. And I realized there's a both and there, and you can be both. And then the final piece of it, what really brought it together, I had a friend who is also a very manly Christian. He's a Protestant, but one of my dear friends recommended a book called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge.
Great book.
And great book. It changed my life because I realized not only is it possible to be adventurous and strong and be a Christian, not only is that possible, but it's crucial for men to be both.
Yeah, people ask me, I'm torn between being a Christian and being adventurous. And I'm like, you know, our creed here is the most radical thing you can do in life is abandon yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. And people go, why not? Sure, torn between taking care of my family and, you know, being adventurous. What could be more adventurous than bringing into existence an eternal being, a human life, and nurturing that human
absolutely.
Life?
Absolutely. And that's spot on. And once you begin to embrace that, it changes the course of your life and all the decisions and paths you take. You know, it is responsible for me pursuing my dreams of bull riding. It's responsible for pursuing this goal of being a Navy pilot. It's responsible for me trying to deepen my faith in light of others who think maybe I'm taking it too far. Maybe I need to get on board with the secular world a little bit more. Mm. And I'm able to stand up to that because I was able to kind of essentially complete that circle again in that journey of becoming a full man.
But when you're on a bull, you want to keep your COG, right? Your center of gravity.
Absolutely, yep.
And that's what an informed Catholic can do. An informed Catholic who's studied the catechism and also presents himself to the sacraments, you know, to live the full Catholic life and is in fellowship with others, and men need to be in fellowship with other strong men. It keeps your COG, it keeps your center of gravity. You know, when I tandem surf, people may know I'm a world champion tandem surfer. I'm lifting a woman in extreme lifts over my head while we surf. And when she's in that lift, the COG, the center of gravity, is very important, right? That things be right. And I'm not just going straight ahead. I'm carving on the wave. We're hitting the lip and going back down. But I can tell when a woman is in a lift, I surf basically exclusively with my bride. But when my wife is in a lift, I can tell when her eyes are not on her mark. You know, she's supposed to be looking in a certain place. Every lift has a certain direction her eyes look. I can tell when her eyes move. Even if she just glances to the left or to the right, it throws her COG. I can actually tell her, look up. Like the first time she ever experienced that was in our first competition together. And I could tell she was looking down, and I just said, look up, and it fixed everything. And, you know, sin in our lives is the word sin in both the Hebrew and in the Greek. The word harmatia is the word for an archer missing the mark. You know, and you shoot the arrow where you're looking, where your focus is. So our focus has to be on the Lord, and that helps us keep our center of gravity, helps us keep our sense of balance. You know, love and truth must go hand in hand. Justice and mercy go hand in hand. Fide et ratio, right, as John Paul II said. So we need to have the both end of Catholicism. If all I had was a muscle on one side of my arm and I went to drink this coffee cup, I would just end up throwing it in my face, right? I need to have the balance of the muscle on the other side that allows me to have that dexterity. So your faith was, give us one more key lesson that you learned before we have to go in your Catholic faith. I see you have the rosary hanging on the wall next to your pilot's fatigues.
Yeah.
Tell us about the rosary.
So the rosary, wow. So I didn't even know how to pray a rosary until I got to college, right? And it was, again, shortly after the Lord showed me the truth, that I began spending more time in adoration. I'd go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. That town, I went to college in Northern Michigan University. It's in Marquette, Michigan. And they have such a beautiful Catholic heritage there. And they have a chapel there next to the cathedral, and it's a 24-hour adoration chapel. One of the, I think it, it was one of the deacons there that gave me the code to it. That a code that so you couldn't get in there after a certain time. He gave me the code to it, and I would go there late at night, and I would begin learning the rosary there. And the reason why I felt called to do that is shortly before that, I think it was on my trip back up for my sophomore year before this experience happened, a gentleman that at a restaurant I would stop halfway invited me to be a knight, to join Knights of Columbus.
Oh, how cool.
So in doing so, that they give you a rosary and a guide on how to pray it.
Mm.
And I thought, well, if this is part of being a knight, then I need to learn it. And so I would go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, and I figured, what better way to spend that time than to learn how to use this weapon?
Well, you know what it is, Chris? It's like, if you're going to be a manly Catholic, you better carry the rosary with you. We pulled over riding motorcycles once in Louisiana. I think it was one of our first episodes of Long Ride Home. And it kind of looked like a Mexican standoff, as they call it. You know, the bikers on one side and then us showing up. And I said, gentlemen, choose your weapons. Everybody pulled out a rosary out of their pocket. We've been talking with Chris Gokey, a Navy helicopter pilot, bull rider, ice fisherman. Chris, thank you. I want to remind everybody to go to the deepadventure.com website and check out all that we're doing there. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to bearwoznik.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at bearwoznik.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.